Okay, we're holding today on Daf Samach Tes. And actually, we still have to finish the last two words on Daf Samach Tes on the base. I wanted to finish those last two words, since they are Tashma, obviously referring to something that we learned yesterday. We have to just review what the question was. The issue is, what is the halacha about an Uber that was Yotze piece by piece? And the shaila is whether having been Yotze in one piece and cut off that piece and cut off the next piece, at the point that you have Yetzias HaRov, do you have a din of Yolud? And if it's Yolud, then what's left inside of the animal is no longer considered to be a Ben Bekurah, to be Mutar, which Shitat HaEm. Or do we say that it's not Yalud, because in order to define something as Yalud, it needs to be born all at one time, not in pieces. Now, Tosis points out that L'chora, we're well aware of what the halacha is, because the din is clearly in the Ferish Mishnah, in Nida, that the mother is Tmeal Leida. So in other words, a human mother whose child is delivered in pieces, the mother is still tamei leida when robe of the body, the pieces of the bodies, are removed. So what's the question of whether it's leida? It's a very important test, because it simply clarifies to us what the Gemara is talking about. And to us, it's very, of course we know it's leida in terms of being matame the mother. The question is it leida in terms of the uber? In other words, do we say that what's left inside the mother is actually already born, because most of the uber is born? Or does the connection of what's left inside to what came out dependent on its being one organism and not cut off as it comes out? That's the issue. So that's very well defined. And now, today, Tashma, we want to bring a raya as to what halacha is. In our mission, we said, Zeh haklal, davar shegufa asur, sheina gufa mutar. Anything, and some of this is a kind, we discussed basically two cases in the Mishnah, a case of an uber, and a piece of an uber, and we also discussed what the din would be of a piece of the mother herself that was left in the mother, in other words, the animal itself that was cut off and left inside the body, and then the animal was shechted, obviously something that wasn't traitorous. Let's say you remove the spleen. And in classic hospital fashion, you forgot to take it out. You just left it there. So what's the din? Does the spleen become mutter or shita or not? So we said that it does not. Then we said a claw. The claw's got to add something. We said, Zach claw. Anything which is its own body is awesome. Anything which is not its own body is mutter. So what does it mean to add? The varsheno gufa la tuyimai. I mean, to tell me about a case where I left a piece of an uber inside, I cut off the hand and left it inside. I mean, that's it said beferish in the Mishnah, that's mutter, as long as I didn't remove it from the animal, I left it in the womb. So what case is being added by the Varshe no gufa? It's got to be talking about this case. I mean, to my love, la tuyeka ha'gavna, that even when most of the uber had been removed, what's left inside is still considered to be a nagufa, and therefore it's behema ba behema, and it's muteret. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. You can't bring a raya, because the Mishnah may have something else in mind with the word zaklal, namely, la tuye kolut bime'e para, valiva de Rabbi Shimon. As we saw before, Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that is a mutation, that is born without parasot, it has a single camel-like leg, but it's born of a kosher animal. Now the shaila is, can I eat that animal, being as it's similar to a camel? You say, well, it comes from a kosher mean. Rav Shimon's shita is that it has to have its own simon. But what happens if such a mutation was found in the womb of an animal that was shechted? Since it's a nagufa, it's kosher. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to say with Zehakla. So Kamashka, in other words, Hani Milihe for the Yatzalah of Yerha'olam. This is only when that mutation was actually born and now exists as an independent animal. Aval b'me'e imo, shori. If it was found inside of its mother's uterus and the mother was shechted, it would be mutter. Boy, Rebbe, come now. Rav Chananya has an interesting question, which we mentioned briefly yesterday. How about if Otzi Ubarat Yado Ba'azaramav? How about if the animal exited its hand inside the Azora? Now, the Azora is also a Mechitza. Notice we have different types of Mechitzas. We have a Mechitza, certainly not possible Soda. You can't call the Azora Soda. There's the same issue of taking something that belongs to the Azora out of the Azora as there is in taking the animal that is a fetus out of its mother. They're both called Yotze. Yotze puts in Mechitzata. So maybe being now, as this mother is inside of the Azora, and the Azora itself is a Mechitza, maybe the Mechitza of the Azora helps for the embryo. And it's considered to be inside of a Mechitza, not Yotze Basu Basoda. So therefore, the question is like that. Migu da havi mechitza lagabe kodashim, havi nami lagabe dahai. Since in terms of the din of kachin, the wall of the Azora is itself a mechitza, so maybe it's also a mechitza for this fetus. Odilma lagabe dahai lav mechitza hi. Or perhaps vis-a-vis the fetus, it's not considered to be a mechitza, the mechitzat ubar imohi. Because in terms of a fetus, the only meaningful mechitza is the uterus. Having left the uterus, it's outside of the mechitza that it requires, despite the fact it may be inside of another mechitza, that other mechitza is not going to help. Formerly Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Chananya, look, if this question was meant seriously by Yom, Tiboy lochokachim kalim Yerushalayim, why did you ask a question of kachim and the azora that an animal is giving birth? Then talk about a very common situation where you have, I mean, hundreds of animals in Yerushalayim. They belong there and so on. I mean, and you could have asked exactly the same issue instead of talking about an animal inside of the azora that was kodesh, kachim, kachim. Why didn't you ask that? In my time, hello, coming by. I'll tell you why you didn't ask. Because you understood. Tosfos says, why indeed didn't he ask it this way? I mean, if Lashita Toda was a real tzad to say that the mechitza is a mechitza, why didn't he ask it? And so apparently he understood that the value of a mechitza is in terms of the power of its halakhic implications. That was, to some extent, the whole idea of a mechitza is purely abstract. I mean, certainly we're not going to say an animal that's inside of a house, the mechitza of the house is considered a mechitza for the fetus, and it's absurd. So the idea over here is the abstraction, the conceptual value of the mechitza. Rabbi Chananya held that the conceptual value of the Azora is so much more powerful than the conceptual value of Kachin Kali, of Yerushalayim, because it helps even for Kachin Kashi. And he felt that, okay, maybe that is vis-a-vis the walls of the uterus enough to be a substitute uterus, so to speak. So by pointing out to him, you can't, it's not a quantitative difference. It's a qualitative difference. If you're ready to understand that the very fact that we call something a mechitza is no reason to apply it to a different type of mechitza. So the fact that you call it, gee, it's even a more powerful mechitza, that's not going to change the qualitative status, is it? I mean, a wall is not a uterus. There's no two ways about it. And therefore, in terms of the Uber, what's the difference if it's the wall of Yerushalayim that you yourself understood wasn't enough to take the place? The same way you didn't say that. Kachim Kalim Yerushalayim, my time, lo kami boy, lo ka. Why didn't you ask that? Because you understood, of course, that qualitatively, the Mechitzat Ubar can only be viewed as a womb and not a womb. So, Achinami, Mechitzat Ubar, imohu. The same thing is true, legabe the mechitza of the Azora. There's no qualitative difference between the two of them. So forget that. Scotch that one. Boy Yilfa, this is a fascinating question, which interestingly enough, we actually made reference to way back at the beginning of the Masechta.
Especially since the Beis HaMikdash is the Mishkan, both are called the room in which I was conceived, which is essentially the womb.
Yeah.
That's absolutely beautiful.
So now we had back at the beginning of the Masechta an interesting question about what happens if the behemoth becomes nitrifa in the middle of shvita. Whether we can add the first simon to the second simon because one is coming to be matir, remember? And one is coming only to be matir medena velon. Is that two different types of shvitas and therefore the two simonim can't be added? Interestingly enough, back at the beginning of the Masechta we brought a raya from our sugya. But here we are now basically asking the same question. An uber's motzias yado ben simon la simon. So you check now, let's say, the koneh. And after you finish shechting the koneh, the uber sticks out a hand, and now you shech the vesh. What's the din? Mi mitzdarif siman rishon siman sheni l'tahara midei nevela olo. Remember that yesterday the Rabbanan said that even though the shlita can't be matir, the aver that was it was stuck out from the uterus, but it can still be matir midei nevela, just like it's matir any treifa. From the veil, or two mess of the veils. But my question is, says Yopa, do we look at this as two different types of shlita? There's a shlita that's coming to be matra shlita. And then there's a shlita that's coming to be matar medena veil. Can I use the two simonim and say, well, but ultimately they're all part of one shlita? Or shall I say there's no shlita here at all? Because the shlita that was to be matar bachil was never completed. And the shvita that was to be matar medena vela was never begun. I only have one simon for each of them. And therefore there's no shvita at all. So mi mitzdarev siman rishon siman sheni. Mitzaharei medena vela olo. Omar Rava, I said, Rava, what kind of question is that? Kava kolmer. I mean, ima lila siman rishon siman sheni. La diroba achila. I mean, if you're ready to say that the entire uber and the entire behemoth is actually mutter to eat. And you don't say that, well, I mean, they don't have over here etter achila b'klal, even on the other part. That you weren't asking. You were only asking the tara midena veila. You appreciate the fact that those things that are meant to be eaten, obviously can be eaten with the shkita, because vis-a-vis the eating is one shkita. So that was pressure to you. So, if it's one shvita legabe achila, why would it not be one shvita legabe the din of treifas? I mean, come on. So lo yoyelo latari medina vela, that's not a reasonable question. But boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a mysterious question. It isn't clear what it means. Mahu lachush lizaro. Do we have to be afraid about the genetic implications of this uber? Now, the lechora, what that means is the uber, the mother is shechted, the uber is removed from the womb, alive. Instead of eating the uber, it grows up, lives happily ever after, gets married, finds a white picket home, and now has children. The problem is that if you want to eat those children, you're in big trouble, because lechora, those children are the result of a union of an animal that has no simanim. Because although this animal walks, talks, and reproduces, it's actually a piece of meat. And any time that I want to go over and slice off an arm or something and chomp on it, I can do so. Because it'll never be out to the zeirum menachai, because it's already been shechted. So the fact that it happens to have a useful reproductive system is just meat. Now that Shiloh is, but that reproductive system is of a type of thing that doesn't have a simon to be matured by Shiloh. Now its child is actually is what that?
A mom's a cow.
That type of thing.
Uber.
I mean, imagine if we had a mother that was born in this fashion, and a father that was born in this fashion, mated them, and then had whole special farms full of animals that are meat without shvita. This is a terrific new idea. It avoids all of the shvita problems.
Cuts down your shvita, your
chances and trapes and so on. There's no way for them ever to be trapes, because they're just walking meat. It's a fantastic idea.
A new industry is born.
But in this case, what we want to know is,
What's the din of the child?
Can I sheft that child or not? Because, I mean, it doesn't seem to have any simen that's kosher. It only has one simen in a sense. So it's half of it comes from an animal with simonim, and half of it comes from an animal without simonim. So what do we do now? Well, now let's try to narrow this down. You're saying that this Ben Bekua went and mated with a normal animal. Is that it? So why are you creating a case where there was an Isser Yotze? I mean, there's nothing with an Isser Yotze. Here the problem that you're asking is, does it genetically carry its pagam of Yotze? I mean, forget that. I mean, you can't even, you have a general question without the pagam of Yotze. It doesn't have simani. I mean, didn't we have a statement already, Omer Mishar Shaladivre, Omer Choshin Lazera Ha'av? We'll see later on that there's a major question as to whether sperm is part of reproduction, or whether it's only a catalyst in a sense. In other words, when we look at a child of an animal, are we looking at a father and a mother, or can we halakhically disregard the father completely? Because all that we care about is what we see the animal coming from. That's a child later. If you hold, well, Ramashash, if you hold that there is paternity in an animal, so then if a Ben Bekua, a regular Ben Bekua, not one that had a Shaila of Yotze, which is what you're in, you're taking our sugar, you're making a whole big problem about Yotze, forget about Yotze. If a normal male Ben Bekua mates with a normal female that's not a Ben Bekua, there's no way to check that child. Avalad ain't lo takana, because it does not have two normal simonim. Because the father's part in the action over here means that it's partially just meat, not animal. How can you check it? You can't check meat. So what are you adding by throwing in the question of Yotze? I don't understand. There's a much more fundamental issue. Ah, no, 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 no. The question is, Lo tzricha d'ozal ben bekua d'kavatei. What happened is that it's mated with a female that had exactly the same situation. It was a Ben Bekua, and it had one Aver. No question. It had one Aver that had been Yotze. So now the question is, the child that is Trefa, because its father and mother were that Aver, was Trefa. So we look basically at the result of a union as the expression of that same piece in the parents, in the child. Okay, so if we have one Aver, let's say a right leg trafe and the father, and a right leg trafe and a mother, then the right leg of the child is also trafe. These are wild questions. Only conceivable when we created this new thing called a partial trefa because of Yotze. Otherwise, there'd be no way we could come up with all of this. But have the parent having introduced this new idea of an animal that is partially trefa, is the partial trefas torashti? It's genetic. And now, the child also is considered to be a trefa in that age. So do we say Aver Molid Aver, that we view reproduction as being an expression of each part of the body into each part of the body, and therefore all you have to do is cut off that Aver and the rest is mutter? O Dilma Mibaldal Zare, or do we say that, well, no, the whole blood is usser, because, I mean, there's trephis in it, and how are you going to get rid of the trephis? Tosis points out that isn't it a question of Zeb Zeb Goreim? I mean, why are we ignoring that? And indeed, the Ramban says that the whole Gemara is only going according to Manyom and Ozeb Zegorim is Asur. Tosfos isn't ready to say that because it's definitely not the thing that the Gemara would normally do, especially since we passing Zeb Zegorim is Mutter. There are those who are Metaret that the only time you say Zeb Zegorim is when you have two separate entities. So then it's called Zeb Zegorim. But if you have a single entity, which is, this is a weird case, normally you don't find such a thing, if there's a single entity in which there's a groma in it of Isser, such as over here, part of the animal is trefa, There you don't say Zeb Zegore. In any event, clearly, if it would be Mibalbel, we'd have to worry about Tarfus scattered throughout this animal. Hold on, and then he said, no, wait. To read reproduction as mapping out the parent's pieces to the child is absurd. I mean, Pshita and Mibalbel, obviously, there's some level of interaction here, because otherwise you could say, I mean, why wouldn't a blind animal have a blind child? And why wouldn't an animal with a missing limb, apparently both parents, had the same, he seems to be assuming Lamarckism is no proportion. But I mean, you could say, okay, a congenital. Sometimes even a congenitally blind father and mother don't necessarily give birth to a congenitally blind child. And a kita, if it's missing a leg, I mean, both parents missing a leg doesn't mean the child's going to be missing that leg. So obviously there's some level of ability, even though you do find that sometimes, depending on whether it's a recessive gene or when. But it's certainly not something that is necessarily. It's a cheat of the Bible, sorry. Therefore,
genetics versus environment.
No, that's a different issue. That's the Lamarck.
That was a joke. The leg coming out.
Well, if you come by then, Mike, the question was clearly this. Behema Biyama, look, I mean, every animal, if we're going to call its power of reproduction an expression of its entire being, it's got Caleb in it, it's got Dom in it, so why isn't the animal that is born of animals that have Caleb and Dom also to eat, because there's Caleb and Dom power mixed in that meat? So only the first animal that was created, Yesh Me'ayim, would be mutter to eat. The rest would be all mixed up with Caleb and Dom all over the place. So obviously, I mean, that's a little silly. So what I'm asking is, if every animal comes from Kayak of Caleb and Dom, and it's mutter, so we should say the same thing as over here. That's Caleb and Dom plus this new Isser of Yotze in it. Okay, but clearly that's not an element that is given over in Torah Shah. I mean, it's not genetic. I mean, it has nothing to do with reproduction. Hokinami Loshna. Oduma Trees, Suri Amrian. Maybe the Torah is just being mounted to Isurim, Caleb and Dom. But to go so far to Caleb and Dom, Yetze. Remember, if anybody asks you ever in a real, is there such a thing as an Isur Yotze of a Behemoth Kulin? Of course there's an Isur Yotze of a Behemoth Kulin. Behemoth. It's not Yotze from the Azora, but it's Yotze from somewhere else. But it's Mamish called Yotze. It's Yotze. So maybe if there's a third Isser, we're not ready to go so far as to be Matarin. What do you mean if there's a third Isser? Who are you asking this according to? If you're asking it according to Rebbe Meir holds that a Ben Bakua that would be found in a uterus that was mature enough to live anyway, wouldn't be mutter with its mother, Shvita, and therefore, there would be no Isur Yotze, because it is now an independent animal, it's no longer fetus, and it is not enshrined as having been a traitor.
Inside, it's ready?
Yeah. If it's found, a fully formed fetus, according to Rabbi Meir, found in utero, is not a Ben Bakua. It's independent, even though it happens to have been in the uterus at the time it shafted it. Exactly, yeah. In other words, the very fact that it walks around on its own means that it's not a fetus. It happened to be inside of a uterus, but it was a fully functional, independent organism. See, I can't blame you today because I didn't show up for the beer women's party last night.
Yes. Yeah. I was waiting for you.
You had to do it all
in the morning.
All on your own. So, and according to him, there's no Isur Yotze, obviously. Since once an animal is born, if it's really born, there's no Isur Yotze. If you want to say it's going to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Ben Bakua, even fully formed, is a Ben Bakua, well, there may be an Isur Yotze. But the interesting thing is, the Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no Isur Chalef. Because since the animal was part of its mother, and shafted as a piece of meat, pieces of meat don't have chalev, only animals have chalev. So the chalev inside that uber is completely kosher.
So you could eat a cheeseburger from it.
That's right. Well, not a cheeseburger. It's bosher. It's bosher, but it's chalev.
No, but it's milk.
No, chalev.
Oh,
we'll talk about Cholov in a moment. So now, because he says, the Tanan, Noeg b'shlil v'chelbo asur, Dibur Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yonomer ain't noeg b'shlil v'chelbo mutar. So either you've got Chelov and Dam, or you've got Yotzei and Dam. But you don't have Chelov, Yotzei, and Dam. So sorry, that's not going to work. Okay. Elakomi koach lo amrim. And obviously, the fact that it's coming from the koach of an animal that has chelov and dam, that's just like a catalyst. Of course, it's mutter. My question actually was, when we talked about ma'o lochush lezaro, actually it was a reference not to the zera of a male, but to the milk of a female. And the question was, do we say that you can drink the milk? That's my shame. Oh, come here. Ma ligmoa et chelbo. Can I drink the milk of a mother whose aver had been sticking out of the uterus? Its mother had been shechted, leaving it as a ben bakua with a partial problem. Now the question is, does the milk come from an animal that's now partially trefa? Is that how we should look at it? Now that's a fascinating issue.
Why is it partially trefa?
Because its hand was sticking out of the uterus. And it was never shafted. Right. So my question, therefore, is, and this is a rather problematic, I didn't mean just because I can't blame my you, doesn't mean that necessarily it should be heter. So my question is, maybe we should say, look, normal milk is also Avram and Achak, right? It's coming from Avram and Achak. And nonetheless, I drink normal milk anyway. Even though it should be Osir, because Kol HaYotzei and Osir is Osir. A mother is certainly Osir.
This mother was
every mother, every cow is Osir. It's Avram and Achak.
Why is milk considered Avram? It's a product.
But anything that comes from a Dover Osir is Osir. Kol HaYotzei min Osir is Osir.
What's Osir about the cow?
It's Avram and Achai.
It's the cow.
Right. So is everything that comes from the cow Osir?
Well,
it's
a lot.
Because
the milk has a part of
the cow.
No, the whole cow is Avram and Achai. Even if you want to swallow that cow in one big gulp, and you're a cobra, it's an Avram and Achai. We'll see. We'll talk about it, whether Ikele Vorm later on, actually. That's you have the question with birds. We swallow the entire bird at once, tiny bird. So, my Shaila, since normal milk ought to be like Avram and Achai, nonetheless, it's mutter. So, this is also the same thing. Or do we say, oh, Dilma Hasim, you say that can't be service cheaper? Do we say, well, over there, at least it has the ability to be mutter at one point if I shafted it. Maybe that's what the Torah was mutter in milk. But also, let's take that content of service. There'd be no way for me to take off the Yisr Yotze here. Beshvita, of this mother, because it's a permanent non-shafted animal that never will be able to be shafted. There's nothing to do about it. You can't shaft it. Take it. That is a question. What's troubling about this is that the comparison over here ought to be to Trefa, not to Avram and Achai. Now, there's one way of looking, yes, the problem of the Ben Bakua whose leg was sticking out of the uterus is that it remains Avram and Achai because it was never shafted and it can never be shafted. And therefore, you can reasonably ask, well, every milk is from Avram and Achai and it doesn't bother it. So what's the difference between this milk, which is from a permanent Avram and Achai? That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Saying, well, there's a difference between a permanent Avram and Achai or an Avram and Achai that can be changed for Shvita. The problem is, we didn't call it Avram and Achai, we called it a new Isser of Trefa, called Yotze. That every Yotze is also a Trefa. I mean, certainly the milk of a Trefa is Usser. The mother is Trefa, you're not allowed to drink the milk. So why doesn't the Gemara compare it to that? Why does it compare it to Avram and Achai? And this really sort of throws a monkey wrench at all of the simple conceptions that we've been having all along about Yotze being a pure trefus kind of issue and not just the result of being unable to shaft it. And indeed, the Gemara gives rise to rise to a lot of discussion among the Rishonim whether we meant Tarfus literally by the Isra Yotze, which the Rambam clearly says because it doesn't get Malkus because of Tarfus on it, or whether the Gemara is giving the shame of a permanent Abram and Ahai of this type, calling it Yotze with some, and that it doesn't really mean it's Tarfus, it means that it was Nigram like an Isra Tarfus. But just remember that this Gemara does not flow simply from the Gemara's rhetoric. Now, the next case that we had was that if you cut off a piece of the yogur, then that piece of the yogur remains mutter, even though it's not attached to the yogur, b'shritat ha'im. So I cut off a leg. I didn't take it out of the uterus. I actually cut up the yogur in the uterus, which is actually done quite often. If the yogur is too big to get out of the animal, so they'll perform, I forget what they call it, an embryo. What do they call it? They slice up the yogur.
To save the mother?
To save the mother, yeah. Especially before it was easy to do a cesarean on a cow. That was the... Or, I mean, it's even worse. Sometimes an yogur is dead, and it's been dead for a couple of days, and it is swollen, and there's no way to get it out, and then you have to cut it up. There's nothing else to do. The whole thing gets infected. So, okay. So here, if you leave a piece of an yogur inside of the mother, check the mother, so then we said, nonetheless, it's mutter. How do we know all these halachas about shechting the mother and the yogur becoming mutter? Well, remember that the pasuk says, "B'chol behema mafreses parasa, shasa shesa parasa ba behema." So what does that mean? We take the first behema, b'chol behema, and we say b'chol behema ba behema. And obviously, it's ba behema. That's what we're talking about. So must be the Torah is coming to tell us that chol behema ba behema is also mutter. So a fetus is mutter when it's found in an animal, a rabot et avlat. Well, if that's the case, you're telling me now that a blot is a behema. That's what you're saying. You're saying the word behema is a reference to a behema in a behema. The problem is, if you're ready to go out on a limb and call a fetus... It's the ultimate going out on a limb. If you're ready to go out on a limb and call a fetus a behema, then you're going to run into other problems. Because, first of all, why wouldn't we be able to create a tumura on a fetus? Because it's a behema. So let's say I want to exchange an animal that's Kodesh. And I say, let the fetus in this mother be a tumura for this animal. The halacha is that the fetus does not become a tumura. And this is not a meimirin. Alametzana, so why, according to you, why does the Mishnah say, ein meimirin, you cannot make a tumura of an aver of an animal for an uber, or an uber for an aver, or for that matter, an aver of, or an uber on a whole animal. Whereas according to you, a uber is like any other behema. And the reason that you can't do it is because it's not called ba behema. But same lotion, behema ba behema, is found by Tamura. You can't take one behema for another behema. Now, if you're telling me that the words of behema, ba behema here mean a fetus in a behema, so why is it the behema meaning a fetus for a behema, which is a shlema, included in the meaning of behema ba behema? So you got a real problem over here. So there must be a different basis for this. Ela omar kro v'chol behema mafreset parsa is the basis to be marvel of lot. So now you're telling me v'chol behema, anything of the animal. So now why can't I cut off a spleen and leave it inside the animal, shaft the animal, and then eat the spleen? So ayokaf yochotech v'natchol v'naklayot nami. Halavat nine. Why does the Mishnah say chotech min uber shemei yes, but minat cholam minat kolayot no? And it's also about tefila. Where do we see that in this pasuk? All it says is chol behema. Anything left inside of an animal? Ah, no, because it says ota tochelo. It says ota. Ota always adds. I mean, obviously, ota
could have just said tofelo. Ota means as it is. Oh, ota tofelo. Ota shleima v'lo chasira. Ah, okay. So now you're saying v'chol, correct? You're not darshaning the word beima by beima. You're darshaning v'chol. If you're darshaning v'chol, why is it that if you shecht an animal and you find in it not simply a mutation that has no parasot, you find a bird in it. Umatza badmut yona. Why isn't that? Whatever it is. Well, who cares what it is? Sheep. And we'll see why it says mut yona. Kishtri, it should be mutter. Alam am Rav Yochanan shochetet abeimah matza badmut yona. Why then does Rav Yochanan say that even though we were ready to be matir a mutation where there's no, it's a club foot, and there's no, it's probably the equivalent to the club foot mutation in a human, but there's no parasot. So why is that any different? If we're learning out of Chodema, why is it any different if it's a yonah? Now Tosfos points out that you'll notice that the hakpadah is specifically on dmut yonah, not on a foot per se. In other words, it's not that this is a para that has a weird mutation on its leg that it breaks up into three parts and so on, like a yonah, you know, so that it looks like a bird's foot. That isn't the issue. That would certainly be mutter. Those mutations are all included in the drasha that we had before. It's dafka a dmut yonah. Otherwise, it should have said Uvar sheragleha ki yonah. Why does it say matzaba dmut yonah? The whole thing is a yonah. There we have something that's not included in the concept of behema and a behema. This is not a behema at all. It looks like something else completely. But according to you, we're dashing it from coal. And why is it this coal? Right? If we're dashing from behema ba behema, I understand that a bird is not a behema. But if I'm dashing it from coal, than anything at all. This is what it looks like. What if it looks like E.T.? I mean, it should also be good. Of course, there would be choshish for Zera of aliens. And we don't know. Is that? Answer for Gemara, because you're forgetting the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, what does it say? V'chol ve'ma ve'ma v'chol ve'ma. Says Bechol Beimama, Preses Parasa, Shasa, Shasa Parasot, right? You can't ignore the Parasa. So the Torah is still telling me, look, you can have a Parasa, you can have Parasot, but you gotta have something that looks like that. You can't have a whole different type of species in there. So therefore, being a Parasot, relax. I mean, the point is you need Parasot. Well, wait a minute, you need Parasot. So then if it's a club foot without Parasot, why isn't that usher? Alameata kalut bime paralitzar, and nonetheless, done in the very Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael tined in the Brisa, kir Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Yishmael was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon, kir Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that parasa babehimato chelu, we can darshan both, we can darshan parasot and parasa. So remember, even though we said before that I'll leave it, we said at the beginning of the dot, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. We said, as long as you find that mutation in the animal, it's kosher, as long as it didn't come out. So why? What's the difference between the mutation of a club foot and the mutation of a dmut yonah? Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Shimon darshan, like Rabbi Shimon. The Pasuk mentions both parasa and parasot. To show sa then parasa, right? So kol beima ma preset parasa shosa shesa parasot. So it's parasa parasot. Either a parasa, which is one foot, or parasot, which is the typical double foot. Either is kosher. That's the point. As long as it is ba beima, as long as it's in the uterus of an animal and hasn't walked out on the ground. Funereal. It's kosher. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Ashi says, actually, there's no problem at all with your original question.
the approach initially, Behemah ba Behemah, was excellent. And that explains everything. Explains the Dmut Yonah. The only thing that left up in the air is you were worried, so why not Temura? It happens to be, the why not Temura is not because of any implication to the word Behemah. It's a completely different drasha, and I can explain it to you, why not Temura. The Rikakash, I know it was bothering you before, and that's why we went through all of this. This is about the coal, which is wrong. The Rikakash, you were wondering about, so why can't I make a Temura on it? Because it's going to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is Makish Temura Lamaser. He learns the because the Torah compares, puts together basically the two sugyas of Maaser Behemah together with Temura. It's all there in one parasha. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, just like Maaser Eino Noheg Be'evarim Be'evarim, Ap Temura Eino Noheg Be'evarim Be'evarim. It's very simple. It's not because of a drasha Behemah. So even though the Uber is called a Behemah, it's not the kind of Behemah that you can make a Temura. So, okay. But the truth is, if you wouldn't have the Hekesh to Meiser, then in a Finami, you would be able to be Meimer to Uber.
The point in this development that it's an Uber that's a real animal?
According to Rabbi Meir, there is. But not according to Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds even a fully functional, full-term animal, as long as it's inside of the mother, it's a ben bakua.
It's unfortunately like a sandal.
So for sure it's kosher, and it's just an extension of its mother.
There's no differentiation?
Right. No differentiation. Well, we'll see later on. The Gemara is going to discuss the question of Ubi Yerachima on that day. That's where it will be next. Uminot Tema, where do you get the idea, says the Gemara, that Ein Meimirin is going on leaving the Rabbi Shimon? It's not. Omer Rabbi Yosef, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef says, in Temura, V'halo gugugdashina Omer raglasha zo ola, kula ola, apkishi omer raglasha ze tachazete, kula Temura tachter. You said that you can't be Meimir and Aver for a Shlema. Well, if you would try to make an aver of an animal, just a foot, you say, let this foot be an ola. Wouldn't the whole thing be an ola? So why, if you say, let this foot be the Temura, why doesn't the whole thing become a Temura? So why is there a problem of a bori? Now, who was Rav Yossi talking to? He's talking to the Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah presented this, Ein Meimirin, Ubrin be'Evorim, Evorim be'Ubrin, and Evorim be'Ubrin be'Shlemi, ve'lo Shlemi be'Evorim be'Ubrin. He's talking to that, right? Who is that he's talking to? I'm going to prove to you it's Rabbi Shimon. How can I prove to you it's Rabbi Shimon? Because look, if he's talking to Rabbi Meir and to Rabbi Yehuda, who discuss the question of Ragla, it happens to be Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, both don't even hold of the assumption that he's making. Namely, that if you say, let this foot be an oila, that the whole thing becomes an oila. They don't agree that the whole thing becomes an oila. So how can he tell them, well, I mean, you agree, after all, that if I would say the foot is an oila, so what's the difference if I say the foot is a Temura? They don't agree that the foot is an oila. Because me, I swear, they don't hold of it. Well, Tanya says the parish, Yochalom Raglash Azola, Tekulola. You might think that if somebody tries to make a foot an ayla, that the whole thing becomes an ayla. Talmud lomar, kol asher yitain, mimenu l'Hashem yeh kadosh, mimenu kadosh, v'lo kulo kadosh. Something can be partially kadosh when the whole thing isn't kadosh. And therefore, this case is not kulo kadosh. Now you might think that means that it can be padui, like a whole animal, and tetzelachulin, and that's the end of it. Oh no! Tamar lomar yiye, it has to be mimenu, yiye remains kodesh. It's not like a balmum, so what do you do with it? Hoketza, kimacher letzorchei olot, send it to sell it to somebody who needs a whole ola. So you say, oh, guess what? I happen to have a behemoth that would be perfect for an ola. As a matter of fact, it's already partially an ola. Might as well go all the way. So I'll sell you the animal minus the cost of the foot, which I'll take off since I can't profit from the hegdish part of it.
But I'll profit only from the rest of it, and you bring the whole thing as a carbon. And that's what you should do with it. So therefore, of course, the value of the Eber, that I can't take. That belongs to Kodesh. And it goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Dibrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehudah. So Rabbi Yossi couldn't possibly have turned around and said to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehudah, well, after all, the whole thing would be an Eilat, because they say, but first, the whole thing is not an Eilat. Now there is another Mandi Omar who agrees with Rabbi Yossi that the whole foot becomes an Eilat. And guess who that is? Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Minai lo merag lasha zuelate kula ola, Talmud Omar hiyet, lirabotet kula, the whole animal becomes an Eilat. So clearly, who was he talking to? Couldn't it be the Rebbe Meir of Rebbe Yehuda? Me eat luhu aisvara. They don't hold the whole thing becomes an Eilat. The only one who could possibly be talking to is Rebbe Shimon, which proves that the author of the Mishnah about Ein Meimir and Ubrim Meivorim and so on must be Rebbe Shimon because Rebbe Yossi was talking to him. Unless, of course, he was talking to himself. And that's the Gemara's parents. Well, Rebbe Yossi tamed an afshikam. Actually, he was not talking to Rebbe Shimon. He was saying, well, now, wait a minute. Being as it is a given that a foot can become a whole oilah, why can't a foot become a whole tamura? It wasn't a response necessarily to a Tanakhama that agreed with him in that assumption. So you can't prove it. But nonetheless, I mean, this is what I'm signing, says Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. Could be, it's Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, Enoch Inami, it's called a behema, and nonetheless, you can't be Mamer on it because of another issue, a hekesh, to mice, and not because of something about a behema that excludes another.
Yes, but should the
an attached? Oh, yes, it is attached.
There's
obviously
a difference
between an
attached
and
which is.
No, but Jamura was also attached to it.
It
didn't pull anywhere. It's just, we're just talking about an equivalent case. If this is an animal that is giving birth to its first child and it runs into trouble at the delivery, you can still cut off piece by piece of the Uber before it's born, because it doesn't become Kodesh as a Bechor yet until it's born. It's not a Bechor while it's in utero. So if it's having difficulty, you can actually help the mother by cutting off pieces. And since they're not Kodesh, you might as well just throw the pieces to the clubbing and just feed it to the dogs. Yatsarubo, however, once it comes out at one time, Rome, then already it has in it kedushas bechor, because it was a petar rechem at that point. You can't throw it to the dogs. It has to be buried. But the mother will never have a bechor anymore, obviously. In other words, this was its petar rechem. The next child that it has, a viable child, is not a bechor. It's not similar to the din of a bechor l'nachala. The next one that a human mother would have in such a case would be a Bechor L'Nachala, because that has nothing to do with Petar Rechem, that has to do with the father's firstborn child that he can see as a viable heir.
He wouldn't have finished the Petar Rechem, would he?
No, that's totally in the mother. Itma. Yatsashli, suppose a third of the animal comes out, and you make a quick deal with a guy standing nearby. Hey, buddy! Whew. How about buying into this animal? It's about to be born. You got 2 seconds to make that decision. Thank you very much, sir. And you give him a $5 share. Now, the bit is that wherever you have Yad or Veiko Kavim Be'emsa, there's no conditions before. So therefore, since you got it before it was all born, and now Chazar B'Yatzar Shlish Acher, you'd think that that would be okay. But Ravuna says no. It's Kodosh nonetheless. Rabbi says, what do you mean it's not Kodosh? At the time that you sold it, it wasn't Kodosh yet, so you could sell it. It was yours. By the time it becomes Kodosh, it belongs partially to a Goy. And if a Goy is a Shutta and a Bechor, it's not Kodosh. That's what we do, basically, to make sure we don't get problems in any Bechor. We always sell a share to a Goy.
And it's not the
Uber. Yeah, and then there's no problem. So, Rav Huna, why does he say that nonetheless it's Kodosh? Because, interestingly enough, Rav Huna holds that it's kodesh because kasevar lamafreya kadosh. In other words, once the animal is born, it now defines this as a bechor, even before the part that came out came out. Since it ultimately came out, the kedushas bechor was chal from the beginning of the leida, and it's now igloi milsa lamafreya, now becomes retroactively clear to me korah habikadosh that this was a bechor. And therefore, you have no right to sell it because it doesn't belong to you. The deal is off. Whereas Rabbi Omar Eino Kadosh, Rabbi says, what are you talking about? The Bechor can only become Kadosh at the time that it's Poterechim. It's only Poterechim when Robavit is called out to give it a bit of Leda. So therefore, Mikana Labao Kadosh, it's only from the point onwards, after it becomes the Poterechim, that it's a Bechor. And therefore, since when I sold it, it wasn't yet a Bechor, my Dezavim, whatever was sold, Shapri's oven, that was a perfectly valid sale. There's a Goy that owns part of this animal. There's no problem with Kedusha's Bechor on it. Now, you can see, of course, immediately the connection to the Mishnah over here, and it's clear why we're bringing this up. Both Shitas over here, Rava and Ravun, are consistent with their overall Svara, because we also have an issue like this. You have an animal that's been having a difficulty in giving birth. You perform a C-section, try to pull out the uterus, and you end up with just some piece of it coming out. So let's say a third of it comes out. And the rest of it is delivered now vaginally. So now you have partial, a half bechor, a half non-bechor, a two-third bechor and a one-third non-bechor, because the C-section obviously is not put to rechem. So now, what's the din? You were having some trouble getting lifting out that uber, and so you cut it out. Cut out a piece.
Cut off a piece. But it's still viable when it comes out
No. The question is, does the kadosh require kvura, or can I feed it to the dogs, or what's the din? So Ravuna Amar, Eino Kadosh. Ravuna says, well, it's not kadosh in this case. Rava Amar, it is kadosh. Now, how does this relate to previous machlokas? Because Ravuna says, Eino Kadosh. This is Ravuna L'shitato. Ravuna says, look, a birth is essentially a process. And once the process takes place, I see the whole thing as being part of the birth. Since over here, Ravuna holds Lumafreyahu Kadosh, that means that the birth was defined by what happened at the beginning of the birth. And the problem is that the beginning of the birth was not normal, because I had taken out the first third of the uber in a C-section, which means that I never had the robe that was supposed to define Leda as being a Leda at the time that it was so defined, and therefore, being as it's all one process, which needs to be looked at retroactively, in the same sense that he says over here, you can't sell it to a Goy because it was retroactively a birth of a Bechor. Here, too, he says, in this case, it's not a Bechor at all, because there was no normal Leda in the first part of the Leda. Whereas Rabba says it's kadosh, this is l'shitoso. Rabba l'tamei d'yomer mikan alaba kadosh. Rabba says, look, it's a process. At the point that robe of a fetus exits a uterus, at that point it is a bechor. I don't care what happens, the first part of it, the last part of it, that's not the issue. It's not looked at retroactively. Look at it now. Did you have most of this uber coming out of the rechem? You did? Fine. Then it's a poter rechem. If it's a poterechem, it's kadosh, you bury it, and so on and so forth. So it's the same machlokas in the inverse, interestingly, right? As it comes out over here, according to Ravuna, since I look at it retroactively, it's not a bechor. In the previous case, since I looked at it retroactively, it wasn't a bechor at the time of the sale. But the concept is the same concept. And Rava is saying, well, since you don't look at it retroactively, in that case, where I sold it to the Goy, it wasn't a Bechor when I sold it. In this case, even though I had removed some of it in the C-section, it was a Bechor from that point on. So they're exchanging the Kula and the Kumra. That's because the case is different. Hello. Yeah. Hello. Vitzeritza. And we need both.
Pardon me, that's it, he's gone.
Just, I'm just thinking Bill Carney, if yesterday, if someone's talking with him, just stop and look at them.
Dale Carnegie never reckoned with a rich man. Believe me, if the guy got up in the middle of that presentation and said, "Good morning," the deal is gone. I mean, he is, Dale Carnegie was never up against this. As a matter of fact, I dare you to videotape one of these humor. Bring it to Dale Carnegie and ask them what they would do. You know, maybe a good idea would be to walk in one day with skis and poles. As he falls, as his head nods, I get up and put on my things. It might work. So says the Gemara Mitzvah, well, we need both of these presentations of the Machlokas of Ravuna and Rabba for a simple reason. Because I'm not sure whether Ravuna and Rabba were committed to their shita even in a case where it would cause a kula. In other words, maybe each one was masmir, so I need both cases in order to show that each one would stick with their shita, even though in this particular case it turned out to be a kula. So therefore, I need both cases. The Yashmir and Baha, I would say, okay, in this case, since Ravuna is saying that, it's not a sale, and you're going to have to bury that Bechor, it's Kodesh B'Kedush Bechor, and so on, that's because he doesn't want to say the Kula. But saying that same Savora, in this case, that it's a Chumra, and you'd say, well, if I'm going to look at it Lama Freya, then I'm going to be making, I better look at it Lachumra, and say that I agree with Rabba in this case, maybe it would be Moedel and Rabba, Eimu Moedel and Rabba. On the other hand, if it would have said the case about the part where I cut out a piece with a C-section, maybe that's why Rabba said it in that case, because in that case it's a Chumra to say Mikamal Abba. But in the other case, maybe it would be Moedel Ravuna, because to insist that we don't look at it retroactively would be to make a sale valid to a goy in the middle of a birth, and that's a kula. Maybe it wouldn't have gone so far in the Modelele Ravuna. Tzricha, therefore, I need both of their machlokas. Now, tomorrow, we're going to take the obvious step of relating the issues in our Mishnah to the machlokas of Rabba and Ravuna.
Most and